Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Coming up on the free-for-all, we have a Game 6. People didn't think it would happen. Game 6, Cleveland Cavaliers hosting the Golden State Warriors Thursday in Cleveland. Joining me in the studio, three sensational basketball brains, Ben Cohen, Chris Herring, and the genius Henry Mode. Coming up, free-for-all.
This is free-for-all from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
This is your buddy Jason here on the free-for-all. Jim Cherusmi, I gave up on. He's gone to watch Jets and Giants play football in the middle of June, which if you could pick the one thing that's more boring than sitting next to me in a podcast, it's watching the Jets and the Giants in June. But we have a better replacement. We've upgraded. With us today is the basketball columnist extraordinaire for the Wall Street Journal, Ben Cohen, who is fresh from the great Golden State.
I wouldn't say fresh.
You're not fresh. I want to ask you about your travels in a minute. And also, by popular demand, listen, we have a lot of people on this show, and it's rare that people on social media ask, when is this person coming back? And I am not kidding, Henry Mode. I don't know if they're related to you or they're strange stalkers you have, but Henry Mode of Brooklyn is back and joining us. Henry, how are you?
Good.
Did you have a good lunch?
I didn't eat lunch.
You didn't have lunch?
No, not yet.
That's not... Well, all right. Well, you should have a lunch before you come on the podcast. Henry, for folks who didn't catch you the first time around, tell everyone where your blog is located, your basketball blog.
HenrySportsReport.wordpress.com.
All right. Say it one more time.
HenrySportsReport.wordpress.com.
Okay. Now, before we get into talking about these finals, we have to clear something up. Henry, Game 6 is Thursday night. When is tip-off, Ben? 9:05?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Now, Henry, I don't want to embarrass you, but your mom's in the room. We got to sort this out if you're going to be able to watch the whole game. These things run late. We're talking, they're wrapping up close to midnight, I'd say.
You're asleep by that point, though, aren't you?
I'm struggling to stay on. Henry, I actually took a three-hour nap on Monday so I could stay up to watch Game 5. That's how sad I am. But have you been able to stay up for most of the games, or have you been falling asleep?
I've been allowed to stay up, and then I usually fall asleep before it starts or a little bit into the first quarter. I used to stay up for them.
All right. Well, this is do or die time, Henry.
Yeah,
you know, have you has anyone introduced you to iced coffee yet?
No.
Okay. How old are you, Henry?
10.
I think it's perfect, great time to start drinking coffee.
I think it's a great lunch, just iced coffee.
Just iced coffee.
You'll be great for the rest of the day.
Give yourself an iced coffee and a cupcake around 8:30, and then you're going to be good at least for the first half, and then have another iced coffee and another cupcake at halftime. I think the halftime in these NBA Finals games are way too long. Why are there two panel shows? Ben, you're at the game, so you're not processing this, I imagine, but... So they cut to the ESPN halftime show. I guess it's on ABC, but it's ESPN. It's Doug Collins and Jalen Rose, et cetera, et cetera. And then they do another one with Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen and Mark Jackson. Like, what the heck? Just pick one. It's like you're basically repeating each other.
Or just show the halftime act.
Or show the halftime act. Yeah, absolutely. You could do that if you wanted to. You could do many other things. But I don't need to hear people saying the same things over and over. So, Henry, if you're falling asleep, you're not missing much when we're talking about that. But you need to stay up for 6.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, Henry, are you surprised that we are even here? Game 6, going back to Cleveland. Elimination game, one already in the books. Cleveland staving off elimination in Golden State, in Oakland, with a dramatic victory. What do you think? Shocked we're here?
I'm not totally surprised, but I'm a little surprised, especially because we'll talk about this later probably, but I don't even think Draymond Green should have been suspended.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You did? Well, let's get to it right now. Why don't you think he should be suspended?
Because they were both doing it, and I feel like
You mean LeBron and Draymond were getting into it, and they both were kind of offsetting each other?
Over him, and I mean...
Yeah, but Draymond wasn't... That wasn't about one thing. This was about a pattern of behavior. Okay?
No, I'm actually glad that Henry said this, because I was a little bit worried that he was hedging by saying he was not totally surprised by it, but a little surprised. So I'm glad that he's taking a really hard stance on this Draymond thing. I think it gives him a future in this thing.
Henry, what grade are you in?
Fifth.
Fifth. Okay, so you're in fifth grade.
Henry, what would happen if you tried to step over someone in the playground?
Nothing good.
Nothing good. No, but let's get more to it. What if he kicks somebody in the junk in the middle of fifth grade? What happens there?
In the groin area.
Probably get suspended.
You probably would get suspended. Okay.
How many games?
Yep.
A lot.
Yeah, what do you think? If you went home and you said, Mom... a little thing happened on the playground. I kicked somebody in the groin.
It was a retaliatory swipe at the groin area.
So the suspension from school would be, what, how many days would you guess?
Maybe a week.
Maybe a week. And how long would you be grounded for?
I don't know. She would probably do something that would be worse, like I can't watch the NBA Finals.
Oh, like Draymond.
Or you'd have to go to the Oakland A's game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about Game 5 because we have Game 6 coming up. My take on Game 5 was that you just had this singular effort with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. Never has the 2-1-2 of them ever looked better. I mean, you've had great nights from LeBron, some really great nights from Kyrie along the way. I remember a 55-point game against the Spurs last year, but never at the same time. And they were incredibly efficient. It was really fun to watch. But it feels like a comet. I can't expect this is going to happen again, especially you put Draymond Green back on the court guarding. Ben, is there any possibility that Cleveland has somehow cracked something and they have something they can do? Or was that just lightning in a bottle, to use all the cliches?
I think it's a little bit of both, to steal Henry's line of reasoning here. I mean, Listen.
That's also being a half-ass. And
I know. Answer. I mean... What Kyrie is doing now, I mean, we all expected this out of LeBron James. I mean, this is what he does in the finals, and he is this majestic player.
I thought you were going to say he, like, shrinks in elimination games.
No, he's actually great in elimination games.
He's an all-time scorer. He's the all-time leading scorer over Jordan.
But the thing about Kyrie, though, is that, like, I don't think he can play like this for an entire season, obviously. Like, he's going to regress eventually. But if eventually is in two games and not next season, I mean, if he can keep this up for two games or something close to it, you know. But honestly, for the Warriors, the bigger problem might just be that they miss a lot of open shots in Game 5.
The thing it reminded me of a little bit was Oklahoma City, in the respect that, like, you had some of these games where, like, Westbrook and Durant were really, really going off. You just need that third guy. The Cavs don't have it yet. They haven't lost. I mean, they've had flashes from Jefferson. Fry's been zippo in the finals. They haven't gotten really anything out of Kevin Love, to say the least. And J.R. Smith has been a real disappointment.
Yeah, but I mean, this is sort of the story of the NBA season. I think it's so much more about the Warriors than the Cavaliers. Like, yeah. I think LeBron and Kyrie can be great, and if the Warriors are making shots, then they're still going to win. And it's a question of, like, I think that what we've learned throughout this Warriors season is that they kind of get bored, and they're really good when their backs are against the wall and, you know, when things get a little bit crazy and hectic for them. I mean, they won out to get to 73. They were down 3-1. I think that, like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they went into Cleveland and won Game 6 because of what happened in Game 5.
So you think that's true, Henry, that ultimately this just comes down to the Warriors? So the Warriors play Warrior basketball. That's it?
Well, I don't think that's just it. What I think is that Curry cannot defend Irving, and Sean Livingston should get more minutes.
Ooh, I agree with that. Ben, your response?
Well, Klay Thompson guards Irving is the thing. And I think that he guarded him pretty well the other night. Irving just made crazy shots. Like, yeah. I think that, like, it's what you've seen in the Warriors arena all year, which is playing decent defense on Curry and him just going crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think Irving can do that full time, but, like, you know, if he can do it for two more games, then this is, like, really interesting all of a sudden.
All right, we've been listening to three idiots talk about the finals, and now we're going to bring in somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. Chris Herring, who is another tremendous basketball writer for the Wall Street Journal. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Where are you?
I am in a hotel lobby. I just had a meeting with someone, and so just trying to find a quiet place that I could do an interview, but you'll probably still hear some conversation.
Are you in the great city in New York, or are you in Cleveland?
I'm in New York. I'm headed to Cleveland tomorrow.
You're heading to Cleveland tomorrow. Okay. Listen, we talked a little bit about Game 5, and that's pretty much that discussion's in the books, but just give me what your vibe is for Game 6 going into it. Was there anything that you saw Monday that says, okay, you know, Cleveland's found something here, or did it just feel like this one-off where Kyrie and LeBron were just spectacular, and it's hard to repeat that?
I don't know if I'm comfortable saying that they found something, just because, you know, too much of a variable there with no Draymond. And beyond the Draymond factor, you also have no Andrew Bogut, who, granted, has not played that well in the series, but on a night where you don't have Draymond, you know, serving as that center, you know, when they go to that small ball lineup, it would be nice to have Bogut there, at least for some rim protection, and there really wasn't any. Harrison Barnes was not comfortable in that role. No. Steve Kerr has kind of gotten wishy-washy about playing Festus Ezeli and Murray Spates. And so there just isn't anyone a real natural there with no Bogut and no Draymond Green. So with him back in the lineup, I do suspect things will look a little different. And, you know, I'm not sure I'm comfortable saying Cleveland found something totally sustainable, because they also did that with Kevin Love. Again, looking just totally lost. You
sure.
Know, 2 points in that game.
No question. One thing that about the dynamic of five, which was fascinating, was that, I mean, Golden State hung around. This was not by any means a blowout. I mean, they were
tied at halftime.
It was tied at halftime. The Cavs were only up five with, I think, four to go. I mean, this was a reasonably close game throughout. And
they were up seven in the fourth, and the Warriors had, like, two or three open looks that would have just gotten the crowd right into it and could have been the series right there.
And but also, I just felt consistently, you know, given the Cavs' defensive lapses, this just had it just stank of a game that the Warriors were going to steal. You know,
well,
just,
Chris and I were both there. I mean, Chris, didn't it feel like if the Warriors had made one of those open shots when the Cavs were kind of falling apart and LeBron couldn't make a shot, that like that the thing was just going to fall apart really quickly?
Yeah, I mean, we kept asking. I mean, I looked over at Ben at least four times and said, you know, at some point, Irvin's not going to make these sorts of shots anymore, right? And, you know, it kept becoming like one more thing, you know, each time. You know, they're not going to be able to play LeBron this long without a break, and he's still going to be the position, right? And, you know, but the truth was, you know, the Warriors just never hit those shots they expect them to make. I think they were 0-8 from three in the fourth quarter on uncontested threes. I mean, that's just really rare for a team that prolific to miss that many shots. But their defense just wasn't that great. I mean, there were plays where they looked confused, and then after a while, it just kind of felt as if they lost grip of the game. And so it didn't, you know, there were some things, there were a lot of things about that game that didn't feel sustainable. Clay's probably not going to go essentially be on pace for 50 by halftime of the next game. But, you know, at the same time, Irving and LeBron, like, you know, they're both great players, but you don't expect that they're going to go for 40 each in the next game either. First time it's ever happened in NBA history, so it just seems rare that it would be duplicated in the next game. A lot of it's not sustainable.
Chris, you watch a lot of Eastern Conference basketball, for which I apologize. Is that the best you have seen Kyrie and LeBron as a 1-2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, it's not that long of a list to begin with,
but profound.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and you know, this is kind of me and Ben are tackling this issue in a story, and it's different in the dynamic between him and Wade. You know, him and Wade kind of played off each other, and
yeah.
I don't feel like you see that as often
no.
with Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie gets criticized a lot for not really having a setup when he's dribbling. You know, it looks like he's kind of in a, you know, a Harlem Globetrotter a lot of times.
Well, can I ask you a question, Chris? Because I've noticed this a couple of times. There are a couple of moments where Kyrie was an ISO and had the ball, and LeBron basically goes to the side where players check in and just stands there. I mean, he's not, like, moving without the ball or anything like that. I mean, I know how ISO works and that you're supposed to clear out for that purpose, but it is a crazy thing.
You know, and it seems bad on the one hand, but on the other, when you take this and compare it or contrast it with last year, obviously, Curry was only there for the first game last year before he essentially broke his kneecap in the finals. The thing is, I mean, when LeBron is off to the side like that, on the one hand, you're like, why isn't he more involved? But on the other, you're thinking, maybe this is a way of getting this guy a little bit of a breather without pulling him out of the game. And you know, last year I looked at the number. It was, like, astonishing. Most guys in the course of NBA game, point guards handle the ball, control the ball for 5-6 minutes out of every game regular season. Maybe in the playoffs it moves to 8 or 9.
Yeah.
LeBron last year after Kyrie and Love went down in the finals, he controlled the ball for 12 minutes a game. Yeah. It just requires so much energy, and, yeah. and, you know, there's no way to do that and expect him to play well for 4 quarters when he's got that much responsibility. This year that number is way down, closer to 6, and he's sharing so much of that responsibility with Kyrie Irving. And so the fact that they can kind of switch off essentially, on the one hand, it looks strange that they're not really playing in sync with one another, but on the other hand, it probably buys them the rest that they need to kind of continue that over the course of a full game better than what they had last year.
Chris, we have in the studio with us the great basketball blogger from Brooklyn, Henry Mode. And Henry, I can't remember if I asked you this last time, but there's a lot of talk about kids in basketball and the influence of Steph Curry, and if, like, you know, 10-year-olds are going to start chucking 25-footers up. Do you see that at all when you're playing?
I do.
You do?
Not a ton, but sometimes people want to hit a long three, and they think they can, and then they end up airballing it.
You're in fifth grade. What are the 3-point field goal percentages hovering at in fifth grade? Would you suspect 5%?
It really depends on the person. If it's a person who really just wants to make a three but can't, or if it's a person who like can make a three.
Yeah.
Overall, it's below 10%, yeah, at least.
Can I be hot take guy for 1 second and ask everybody here a question? It's definitely the case in this final, but let's consider the full body of work and what they can and cannot do, and let's consider defense, and yes, let's consider Curry injured. Is Klay Thompson a better basketball player than Steph Curry?
No.
No.
Oh, man. Is it unanimous, Chris?
He's not, but it's not as far off as you think. I mean, I just think Steph has kind of been at a totally different level than anyone else on the planet for the last year or two. But, I mean, the fact that Klay can outshine him the way he has and kind of do what Curry is better, seemingly best, than he can. I mean, sometimes he just take shots that are just as far away as the one Curry wants to take. And I think he actually has a little bit of a quicker release than Steph does as well. I don't think Klay would be as good as he was without Steph. I'll put it that way.
He can also do that part of basketball called defense.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's pretty good at that, too.
I mean, he's more of a prototypical size. He's 6'7", I think. Steph is 6'3". I mean, if you made Steph 6'7", probably would have had the conversation about him being the greatest player ever a lot sooner. You know, you start hearing people question, can he enter that Jordan realm?
Right.
I don't think he's gotten there yet. But, you know, if he were 6'7", we would have started having a conversation years ago.
Henry is the only Brooklyn Nets fan in the borough. And, Henry, if you could have one, and you can't have Karl Anthony Towns, I decided, but if you could have one player in these finals to drag over to your Nets, who would it be?
Let's see. That's tough. I would pick Draymond Green.
Oh, I like the pick. You know, I don't know if he's, you know, the A plus alpha pick. What do you think of that idea, Chris? Chris is curled up on the floor laughing.
Yeah, I might have to disagree with that. I love Draymond. I mean, he's one of those players you hate if he's not on your team.
Yeah.
You love him if he is on your team.
Yeah.
He would have been good for them a couple of years ago. Remember, he would have saved them from making that horrible trade for KG and Pierce when they felt like they needed someone with heart on the team.
Yeah.
But just so boring, you know, boring as a popsicle stick. So he would have been great at that time because he would have been cheaper and he would have been younger, but I don't know if he's the kind of player you build a franchise around. He's very good, but, you know, if I have my pick of Steph and LeBron and Klay, I might go with one of those three, probably one of the first two before I go with Draymond.
All right, guys, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we want to talk about the world's greatest sneakers, which caused quite a ruckus earlier in the week. All right, coming back on the free-for-all.
Hi, I'm Paul Vigna. If you do not subscribe to the Money Beat podcast, you are going to feel worse than a short seller on the day of a big rally. Go to iTunes and WSJ.com/podcasts. You want to sign up for this one.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Now, free for all from the Wall Street Journal.
Steph Curry is not only a topic of conversation in terms of what he has done and not done in these NBA playoffs thus far, but he's also become quite a discussion among the sneaker intelligentsia, the sneakerheads, and everyone else in the great wide internet with the release of, what are they called? The Curry what?
The Chefs. Curry
the Chefs? Too. Okay, so these shoes, I was slow to this. I was on assignment last week and like actually talking to people and not looking at the internet, and I didn't catch up on this until very late in the run of virality that it had. But they look like, you know, the shoes that are the, you know, when you go into the Payless in the back and they're the last shoes left in your size, like that's what they looked like to me. They did not seem like anything terribly revolutionary. Henry, I want to get your read on the Chefs.
I mean, they're not bad, but they're not very interesting, which is the complaint.
Would if you came home and your mom unwrapped them for you, would you be psyched or would you be like, "Huh?"
Well, I would be happy because I like boring shoes.
Oh.
I don't like super colorful shoes.
Huh.
So, I would probably wear those, but they're definitely not, I mean,
well, you and I can't hang. What do you think of these Stan Smith knit Stan Smiths? You've never seen a shoe as cool as that. Check that out.
Isn't it?
Jason,
yeah, right.
Aren't you the target demographic for these shoes?
Nah, I don't think so. You know, I'm just a little too edgy, I think, for the Chefs. Now, I wonder, you know, everyone sort of pounced on this and, you know, Under Armour deservedly so. But is there kind of like a backlash to the backlash where these shoes are going to be ironically worn and purchased and like, you know, they'll actually turn into some vague hit?
Well, Steph says they're straight fire, so maybe there won't even be a backlash to the
Chris
backlash.
Herring is wearing some Flyknit Air Force Ones I know these days that are red, and I love those shoes, so I want to get your reading on the Chefs, Chris.
Which tells you that I have better taste than the
yes.
wear the Curry, too,
yes.
clearly.
Yes.
I mean, I saw, we ran a story in the paper about the shoes and got the backlash that was
yeah.
online, and one person quoted, referred to them as unflavored yogurt, basically. And I couldn't phrase it any better just because, I mean, that's what they look like. I mean, they just look like, they look like the template for, like, a shoe, but, like, that they didn't actually do anything to it. So I just, you know, it's just the league where it has so much flair and personality and the outfits that Russell wears and everybody else. I mean, those shoes are just the most boring thing I've ever seen. And, I mean, I don't know that they're
they look like Jerry Seinfeld shoes. I know everyone said this, but they really do. They look like Jerry Seinfeld shoes.
Can we talk about Russell Westbrook for a second?
Yes.
Just because we're talking about the NBA and might as well.
Westbrook.
So Russell Westbrook right now, according to his Snapchat, is in Maui with his wife. And for the last 3 days, as the NBA finals are going on, he has been posting Instagrams of his own fashion choices going into playoff games from earlier this year, just reliving what he wore, calling himself the fashion king with bomb emojis. I mean, what possibly could be more Russell Westbrook than him, like, sipping a pina colada in Maui, just sharing his own looks on Instagram during the NBA finals?
Listen, it is, in every way, this final has felt like a come down from those Western Conference finals,
yeah.
which were so spectacular, and also on the fashion runway. LeBron wore a green suit the other day that he looked like the Riddler, like from, like, I mean, LeBron has such divergent taste, and sometimes he can do it so right, but he can really go off the rails.
He's great. He can really pull off the wide lapel jacket, though. I know everything has been getting skinnier, but he can kind of pull off the 8-inch lapel.
I think LeBron's strength is in sort of fancy casual. I'll give you an example. Last year, game 4, Cleveland, he wore, I'm going to just blow your mind. He wore this, $1,100 Balenciaga sweater, which was the one with a Rottweiler that was, like, hot for a minute, and, like, a pair of, like, you know, jeans or cargo pants or something. Look great. It's when he tries to do pocket squares and vests.
He loves going
like
formal.
That.
He might be the most formal player in the NBA these days.
And Kyrie dresses like he's going backpacking, which I like.
Yes. Kyrie dresses as if he were a second semester freshman at Duke trying to stand for eternity.
I wanted
he's
to ask.
He's still that age, though. That's he's his, only, what, like 24?
Is he 24? He's
still really young.
I want to ask Chris this, and Ben, please chime in, that for folks who don't, follow the comings and goings of NBA writers, they might not be aware of the fact that, once these games get over, and they get over close to midnight, so then you guys really go to work, and you're going down into the locker rooms open up, shortly after the game, and then you have your star players, your coaches coming out and doing press conferences. The coaches, typically pretty quick to the podium, but you are talking to these guys at 1:45 in the morning sometime. You're just sitting there going out of your mind, going like, come on, I'm just going home. Forget this.
Well, we're doing the same thing that they're doing, which is staring at our phones for about an hour and 15 minutes before we talk to each other.
I guess it's also on the West Coast, so it's not so horrible, but,
6 p.m. games. There was a 5 p.m. finals game on the West Coast.
The Sunday 5 p.m.
Which is brilliant. Every game should be at 5 p.m.
But, this Cleveland game, it'll be East Coast time. Jeez, if you have a championship, you're going to be going real late there. I want to find out from Chris and from Ben, what was the best thing you ate when you were in the Bay Area for these games? And please don't say hot dog.
From the Bay Area?
Yeah, yeah.
Believe it or not. So I'm kind of cheap when I go there because I just go to the same place. There is this French soul food restaurant called Brenda's.
Where is it?
It's in San Francisco. I don't know where. Brenda's French soul food. I'm not sure exactly where it is. I don't know the areas that well, the neighborhoods, but it's fantastic. It's probably the best brunch I've ever had, and so I always go back there.
And what do you get?
I don't really test out everything. They have this great French toast, and they have all these different. What do you call them? The things that they have in New Orleans?
Beignets?
What are they? The beignets. They stuff the beignets with all sorts of soul food, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's neat.
It's really, really good. So
it sounds healthy.
It's not the healthiest place ever. Soul food is never the most healthy thing, but I don't know. I feel like you can kind of splurge there a little bit in terms of your food. And then I went to this place in Cleveland, too, called Jack Flats. It's a really good brunch place, too, which... Surprisingly, you wouldn't think of Cleveland as being like this great place for food, but there's some surprisingly good restaurants and bars down Cleveland.
Chris, are you a brunch guy?
Very much so. I'm one of those people that if I go to a certain type of restaurant and they serve breakfast all day, if it's like a 24-hour place, I almost never will order dinner at a place like that.
Will you do a Denny's on the road?
I normally frown upon Denny's on the road just because I feel like normally it's got better options than that.
Yeah.
But if it's late and there's no options, like
Golden Corral?
I went to an IHOP in Oklahoma City earlier in the year because there was no other choices. It was also Oklahoma City.
Henry, have you ever been to the IHOP up on Livingston Street in Brooklyn?
No.
Do you know what IHOP is?
I'm not sure.
It's the International House of Pancakes. And the IHOP on Livingston in Brooklyn, I heard this. I don't know for a fact if it's true, that it is the highest grossing IHOP in all of America.
I believe it.
You need to do it, Henry. Do they still have, Chris, do they still have the syrup tray with the choices?
Yep, the strawberry and the boysenberry. Yeah. They've got everything. It's actually, like, when you think about it, it's kind of sad because that's, like, one of the highlights of going there is that you have, like, five different choices of syrup that have been sitting there all day and aren't fresh. But the funniest thing I remember getting on a subway one time to take the train and seeing someone that had, like, IHOP. I can't remember if it was on their shirt or if it was, like, tattooed on their hand. But I was like, oh, my God, this person has IHOP tattooed on their hand. Like, how much does this person freaking love breakfast?
I grew up around the corner from an IHOP. It was part of my upbringing, but now it's like a bank, which is the funniest thing, this like sort of triangular blue roof bank.
Well, it's so here's weird. The thing, though. I tweeted about that, seeing the person with the seemingly a tattoo, and maybe it was just like not a permanent one, but then people started tweeting back. They're like, oh, but it's the acronym stands for like International House of prayer also. Like, this story would have been way better if it had been about pancakes.
Yeah, what a letdown. Ben is a colossal food snob. Careful, listeners of this program know. So, Ben, what was your most recent discovery in your travels? You know, I think that Ben's, Henry, you should know this, but Ben's interest in the Warriors is a complete ruse to go out to the Bay Area as much as possible and experiment on the Journal expense account for food.
Yeah, well, the truth is I only cover the NBA to write about food in the NBA. But when I go to Oakland, I actually go to the same places for breakfast, lunch, and dinner almost every day.
Okay.
There you go.
So one of them is a coffee/smoothie place in Oakland where I've become such a regular. I've been out there so often that they know my name.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Me when I walk in.
Wow.
Which is more than I have anywhere in New York. And so that's great. And then there's a sandwich place a block from the Warriors practice facility that's great, okay, where I eat. And then there's an Italian place across the street from that. But this time, Oakland was so popular that I couldn't even stay there. I had to stay in a city called San Francisco across the bay,
yeah,
where, you know, I was only there for about 18 hours.
Yeah.
So I was really only there for breakfast. So I did what I had to do, which is I got toast for $5.
Right.
Yeah. There was jam on it.
Henry, I have a question for you. All these players, Cavs and Warriors, if your mom was going out and you need a babysitter for the night, you can pick one from the Cavs or the Warriors. Who would it be? Anybody.
Can I go first?
No, yeah. No. Yeah, Ben actually still needs babysitters.
I don't want time to think about this. Let me see. I think they all seem pretty nice.
Nice, not necessarily the factors here.
Henry, you're going to want to say J.R. Smith.
Why?
Because that guy is going to be the best babysitter you could ever ask for.
Why do you think
he's going to let you order all the free pizza you could ever want?
Yeah, well,
there will be a lot of pizza involved.
We'll say no more. Okay, for you, Chris, you have to pick one player on the Cavs or the Warriors that you got to drive a car from Oakland to New York over the course of several days. Who would be the most interesting person? Or, you know, don't have to be interesting. The person you'd most be most comfortable driving across the country with.
Well, I was going to say the most interesting. I would have said Bogut, but because he's just so colorful and says crazy stuff. And
how are you going to fit him in the car, though?
Shoots from the hip. But he wouldn't fit in the car, one. And two, depending on whatever is wrong with his knee, he'd probably be on painkillers and be out down for the count for a long part of that trip. And that's a long trip. I don't want to be in a car that long with someone that can't communicate. I don't know. I mean, it's not. I mean, I actually, you want to know who I would put at the top of the list?
Okay.
Kerr would be really interesting.
Yeah.
I think he has great stories.
Yeah.
Played with Michael, got punched by Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, coached the best team in modern, you know, no, I guess last 20 years, but arguably ever. Kerr would be fascinating to read, so I could tell people that I was kind of brushing up on some books that I should pick to read.
Yeah.
He's fascinating, honestly.
I want to get to you, Ben, last, but for me, I would like to talk to LeBron that long. I mean, I just feel like the guy has been in public view for 13 years, the most intensely covered athlete in America, and I still feel I don't have a full read for him. I would love to have that much time to talk to him. Just for my own personal edification, not even for a story. I just, you know, he's a smart guy in so many ways, and he probably has more insight into the life of the modern athlete than anyone alive. And again, I still feel there's some mystery to the guy.
Do you think he would ever volunteer to drive himself? Like, would you be able to switch off?
Well, we'd be driving the Kia, like in the commercial, right?
Right.
You have to drive the Kia.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Ben, who's your pick?
Well, I was going to say Draymond, but I feel like he would get annoying by, like, the Grand Canyon. I just feel like you wouldn't want to deal with
him. You guys probably know the answer to this question, but I was listening to the Zach Lowe podcast, and Zach Lowe was talking about how Draymond drives a car that is very much Draymond. Do you guys happen to know what car Draymond drives?
I don't. I feel like it's a BMW, but I don't know that for sure.
He was seemingly making it seem like it was a very flashy car, but I don't know.
He likes going fast.
I've seen him. There's this picture that goes around on this as a meme about, because Draymond is not the greatest dresser. Like, you know, a lot of the guys on that team do not dress that well.
Yeah.
I think Iguodala actually is probably one of the
best. Yeah, Iguodala looks great. Iguodala always looks great.
Regardless of what he wears, maybe it's a frame, but he dresses well and kind of like plays the casual, dressy part of it well, better than everyone else does. But Draymond always looks like he's wearing like a horrible outfit or like really loud shoes. There's this one meme where he's standing in front of this Range Rover. But I can't imagine, like, that doesn't strike me as what would be like a Draymond type of car. So yeah. I don't know if that was a picture in front of his own car.
I don't know. All right. None of you guys said Harrison Barnes, who I hear is a fascinating
dude,
too.
No, we did not. All right. Good reason.
And no one said Steph Curry.
Yes, also interesting.
I feel like, you know, Steph might be fun. I mean, especially if he brought Riley, right? She might get, you know, there might be some issues there.
Would you have to turn the baby seat around facing back or front? I don't know. You know, you're supposed to, when they're three, my son is three, and technically we're supposed to turn him around. I mean, we legally can turn him around, but my wife wants to keep him turned the other way.
Did you say that you weren't the target demographic for Steph shoes?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you weren't the target demographic for
Steph? All right, guys. Henry Mode, give me your pick for game six.
The Warriors.
Warriors. And is it going to be a rout or is it going to be real close?
It's going to be close.
All right.
This took me a long time only because the two biggest factors are Draymond being back and the game being in Cleveland, but I don't think
so. Those are the only things that give you pause. I mean, the Cleveland part is what gives you pause. Okay, and who's your MVP?
Of the series. Well, it depends who plays well in the last game because it's been pretty even so far.
Come on.
Everyone said they're good.
You know what? These sports talk radio shows, they're not measured. You have to sound like a screaming idiot. So give me a pick, okay?
They're not going to do Iguodala again. So let's say, I think Green.
Well, if he goes out and drops 40 tomorrow, I mean, come on.
That's not
going to
happen. Green has a big game back, and he gets MVP.
I mean, yeah. I mean, in some respects, like, he really made the case for his most valuable player candidacy by the game the other night. Chris, score prediction for six and your MVP pick at this point.
I don't see Irving playing. I could see LeBron having another huge game. I don't see Irving doing that. This would be a fourth game in a row where he had 30.
Yeah.
He's only had three in a row with 30 twice in his career, once being the other, you know, this recent stretch. I don't see him catching fire like that again, at least not in four consecutive games.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland will probably drop the game at home. You know, I think Draymond probably has a big impact, whether or not he has it in the stat sheet or not. I think their defense is way better. And I think Draymond being out for a game and seeing the way their defense kind of crumbled without him there, I think that helps him in winning the MVP on top of the game.
All right.
Game two we had the 28 points.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we got two in agreement here. Ben?
I think the Warriors are going to win, and I think Klay Thompson will be the MVP.
All right. And a big scoring night from Klay again, presumably?
I just think they're going to give it to him because he's been so great at the podium over these finals, just talking trash at LeBron and you know, really holding no prisoners. I think that, you know, we should respect that. Also, he's pretty good at basketball.
Are you guys tired, you know, Chris and Ben? Are you exhausted at this point, or are you just kind of dreading free agency coming up at this point?
Is both the answer?
I'm trying to, a little bit of both. I think you're always kind of tired. And, you know, it's funny watching the reporters, one who used to work at the Journal, who kind of grumble, you know, people that have been covering the Warriors for months now, thinking at one point that the series was going to end in Oklahoma City and that they'd be kind of free of this. And then, you know, having a chance looking like they're well on their way to sweeping the series and getting killed in game three. It's kind of funny to see how much, you know, the reporters kind of have at stake. But I'm not looking forward to free agency just because the teams I cover have massive amounts of money, but having no draft picks and have no real chance of getting anyone really, really good. And so it's just kind of going to be a tight machine for the next 3 weeks, even though, you know, probably nothing will really change.
What do you think, Jason? Are you high on the Cavs?
I think the Cavs are going to do it in six, and then it's going to go to seven, and you might see me come off the bench like Willis Reed to go out to Oakland to catch the spectacle. Henry Mode, you're invited. Sources at the NBA say Henry Moe can come to the NBA draft, which is June 23rd at the Barclays Center. Are you still mulling it, or are you in if you want to go?
I'll go.
You'll go? Oh, boy. You know that the Nets don't have a pick. Your Nets don't have a pick. And the Knicks do not have a pick.
The Knicks' next pick in 2021.
So it'll be a quiet night from the local yokels, but it'll be fun. We'll have some fun.
There could be a lot of draft day trades.
And you'll get to meet the famous Chris Herring. All right. Folks, this has been a free-for-all. Chris Herring calling in remotely. Thanks so much for joining us. Safe travels to Cleveland. Ben Cohen, as always, great to have your voice and your food snobbery on the free-for-all. And Henry Mode. Henry, give the people your blog address one last time.
HenrySportsReport.wordpress.com.
Okay, I want to see those Comstat reports afterwards and see those surging numbers as a result of being on the free-for-all. Henry Mode, thanks for joining me on the free-for-all. As always, you can listen to the free-for-all and many, many other Wall Street Journal podcasts, all of which are a lot better than this one, by logging on to iTunes or your preferred podcast provider. I'm Jason Gay. Join us next time for a show which will be different. Thank you.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.